was me, and then this was me. Then I came back as this little guy. A lot of lives for one dog to live.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Kyra DeFalco.
Our next guest is a best-selling author. His work, A Dog's Purpose, spent a year on the New York Times bestseller list and will soon be seen on the big screen. It is great to say hello to W. Bruce Cameron. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the welcome. It's great to be welcomed.
Yes, it's great to be here. That's the whole idea. All right, now, this book, when it first came out, touched me so. As someone who grew up with a dog being an extremely important part of my life, this story resonates incredibly strongly. For those, the four people that don't know what it is, please tell us about it.
Okay, A Dog's Purpose. I wrote this book based on the fact that I had a girlfriend who lost her dog. I had a girlfriend who had never had a dog until she was an adult. She lost the dog, and you know how hard that hits you. If you're not, if it's never happened to you before, kind of just, and so she was grappling with her grief. She was trying to get past it and really having trouble. And I'm a storyteller, so I invented this story about a dog who is reincarnated and remembers each life and has a purpose in life and realizes that until it fulfills its purpose, it's going to keep being reborn. And it did make her feel better. And she said, you have to write that as a book. I mean, she liked the story so much, she married me. she said, you have to write that as a book. And that's the essence of A Dog's Purpose. It's the story of a dog's search for its existence, or for the reason for its existence, over the course of several reincarnated lives.
I have a dog right now. My dog is my baby. And absolutely, you know, should anything happen to her, it really is. Mm-hmm. For anybody who's ever owned a dog or a pet in general, I mean, they are family.
They are. But dogs are different.
You know, there is something about a dog.
Isn't it amazing? All right, you know, I remember to this day when my childhood dog was put to sleep, August 1st, 1990. I will never forget that day. And whenever I think about it, I can summon the feelings that I felt that day, even though it's so long ago now. I mean, when it's something else, I put my hamster Frisky in his habit trail in front of the air conditioner back in 1975. Didn't work out so well for him. I went to a Met game and I forgot all about it. You know, it's just dogs are different. Why do we have that connection with a dog, Bruce? Why is it almost so human to us?
Well, because a dog's purpose is to be with us. I mean, we bred them to love us, and in return, we came to love them. If back 30,000 years ago, when wolves were emerging as a separate strand of DNA from wolves, dogs were emerging as a separate strand mm-hmm. of wolves. We were breeding them and only allowing the ones that loved us to reproduce, only allowing the youthful ones to reproduce. And at the same time, they were molding us because we were more effective hunters if we had wolves by our side as they became dogs. So over the course of those 30,000 years, our two species evolved together. And so, you know, now a dog's purpose has some fantastical elements in it. When you read the book, you realize, well, this maybe doesn't happen. Or maybe it does. I can't tell you how many people have said, oh, my dog Sparky is the spitting image of my dog Gypsy. You know, it's the same dog, different breed, but the same dog.
Same personality.
Yeah, exactly.
And Bruce, so then you followed up A Dog's Purpose with A Dog's Journey. What else did you want to say with that?
Well, you know, as I said, it's the story of a reincarnating dog. So the dog doesn't die in the end. We mm-hmm. all know what it's like to read a book and, you know, you fall in love with a dog for 9/10 of the book, and then the final chapter they dig a hole and throw the dog into it. And
that's never good.
No.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a great book. When I read Old Yeller as a kid, I threw it across the room.
Right? I was heart. I sobbed.
That's dramatic. When you say goodbye to the New York Times bestseller list, too. You know what? People don't want that. You know, you got to keep these things in mind.
Right. So A Dog's Purpose became a series because there is a second one, A Dog's Journey.
Right.
It's the continuation of the life and sort of explain some things that were sort of more or less open for interpretation in A Dog's Purpose, the first one.
Now, your wife is actually the screenwriter of the film that's coming out based on the book. The film comes out in January. The film stars Dennis Quaid, Josh Gad. The trailer is available on YouTube. My God, I'll tell you, I watched this, and you know what? I'm a 49-year-old man, and I'm not afraid to admit, I got a little teary just watching it. And when you watch the trailer, and you see the dog jump off of Dennis Quaid's back, and from what you see earlier in the trailer, you think, oh no, here we go. Your work translates incredibly well. well from the written word to the screen. Now, you said it's different, but in both context and concept, what you do always does seem to translate. And I think 8 Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, I mean, that became a really successful sitcom. Do you or can you write with that in mind, thinking, well, eventually this might go to the screen, so maybe I'll try to write a certain way? Can you or do you get influenced by that in any way when you write?
Oh, I think so. I think that when I write, I'm always picturing what's going on. I mean, I have a very cinematic approach to novel writing. I don't necessarily know that I'm a great writer. But I do know how to put together a story, and I do picture every scene, and I kind of picture it as if I'm watching a movie. Mm-hmm. Like I've got my own private screening room going on in my head right now, and they've run out of popcorn. Let me tell you,
that's not good. You better talk to somebody. No. That's not good. So
yeah, right.
What else about your writing style? Maybe if there's any aspiring writers out there, how do you come up with these stories? Do you kind of develop the plot line first and then the characters, or do you get inspired by someone and say, wow, it's a great character, what happens to them? How do you kind of start your stories?
A Dog's Purpose came to me like no other book. A Dog's Purpose came to me as if it had been downloaded. The story
wow.
that I told, yeah, the story I told my girlfriend in the car as we were driving up the coast of California, that's the evening where she was so upset and I was trying to comfort her. That story is almost word for word what I wrote down. I have never had that happen before. My usual approach is like a mouse running a maze. I'll go in one direction until I get stuck, and I'll turn around and go back to where it was working and go and try another direction. But with A Dog's Purpose, this thing just showed up in my head, and I can't explain it other than to say that book sort of put me on the map, and I'm kind of glad that it did.
You know, it's amazing you say how it just kind of came to you and it just downloaded into your mind. It's going to sound really sappy and like an Oprah moment, but I don't care. It's almost like, you know what, you were doing this for someone who you loved, your girlfriend who became your wife, and this was done out of an ability or a desire to comfort her, and boom, there it was. So it was your talents being used in an incredible way to help her get through something that was extremely difficult. So it really, truly was a labor of love.
You're saying it was a writer's purpose to write a dog's purpose.
And exactly.
I can't disagree with it.
Yes. Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if every single book just came to you that way?
Right.
Subject, boom, you press your nose and it's downloaded into your head. Here we go. I'm headed back to the New York Times bestseller list. But it doesn't happen that way.
No, hey, I'd be happy if I could find my car keys that way.
Coming up next year, A Car Key's Purpose by W. Bruce Cameron. Look for it soon.
Bruce, when you said that it just kind of popped into your head like that, did you ever have, maybe as a kid, a parent or grandparent, aunt or uncle, someone kind of tell you a similar story or some other story to give you comfort, maybe as a child that kind of looped back around? I know, one time when I was young, I saw, sunshine rays over a cemetery. And my grandmother said, that's how the souls get to heaven. And that was just one of those things that, I was a little kid, but it always stuck with me. Did you ever have a moment like that where maybe that kind of was something that you thought of in a moment to try to comfort her and then expanded the story?
Not like that. What happened instead was I was taking a mountain bike trip in Colorado, and I met a dog, and I like to stop and talk to the dog who I meet it with. The dog was on the other side of a fence, but the way this dog looked at me and the way it wagged its tail and staring at me and seemed so happy to see me, I couldn't shake the sense that I was interacting with my very first dog, my dog Cammy, that I met when I was 8 years old. And, Cammy was my best friend. She lived for 12 years or so. So all the way through college,
wow.
This dog was my best buddy. And I rode away on my bike thinking that just felt like I was back with my old friend Cammy. It's an adventure story. It's again told from the perspective of a dog.
Sure.
That's kind of and by the way, that's hard to do. I mean, to write from the perspective of a dog.
Right, because it's not like you can talk to them and get an idea.
And if you did, people are going to start looking at you funny, Bruce. You know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. People have already started looking at me.
Ah, so see. Well, once again, all of us.
Oh, and I, spoiler alert, yes. The dog doesn't die in the end.
Okay.
Make that very clear.
We don't have these old Yeller moments again. Good. See, we're not throwing the book across the room. No, we don't want to do that.
Right.
See, that's the best part about Bruce's books. You are not throwing them across the room when you complete them.
Yeah.
That is always so important.
Sobbing.
And it saves the windows in the house as well. Very nice, especially when you get the hardcover. Well, once again, all of his books are tremendous reads. If you ever had a special dog in your life, and most of us have, these books resonate, and they resonate incredibly deeply with you. A Dog's Purpose, A Dog's Journey. We're leading up, like Bruce said, get the books, read the books, get ready for the movie. It looks terrific. The movie comes out in January with Dennis Quaid, with Josh Gad. When the movie is such this huge, huge success, we want you back on the show. How about that?
I would love to be here.
There you go.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Terrific. W. Bruce Cameron, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
Thank you.
Stay with us, folks. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
And I'm Kara DeFalco.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Fake Green. Harrison with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water. But now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Follow your passion is bad advice, says William McCaskill, an ethicist at Oxford and Princeton.
Instead, he suggests, do something valuable. Research shows you'll be happier at work if what you do makes a difference in the lives of others.
Further research shows that the bigger the difference you feel you make, the better you'll perform. Better performance, of course, likely leads to better pay.
So where do you start? Stop trying to find yourself. It's too abstract. Stop fighting for money, fame, power, and status. There's too much competition. Instead, find a problem you can solve.
Then people will help you as you make a difference in the lives of others. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappyLandAudio.com. That's HappyLandAudio.com.